Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And on the line with us right now is one of our favorite people, Mr. Mike Lombardi. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Angelo. Good morning, everyone.
Mike, we got a lot of ground to cover today. I want to start with this. All right, we are all waiting. There are, I believe it is 9 hours before the trade deadline in baseball. Mm-hmm. You were a GM. You were running things. How do you weigh the present versus the future? And do you feel a pressure when you're getting near a deadline to make a final decision?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to really understanding your team and really your options of being able to make it the championship run. I mean, there's only so many times you have a chance to really make a championship run, and you can't keep putting it off to the next year. So you know you're going to make some short-term decisions that may not benefit you long-term. But if you feel really good that you can go all in, then you got to go all in. And I think that you got to understand that you're going to pay the price down the road if you give up a prospect to win now. But you've got to be really sure you can win it now. And I think that's really where you are. You've got to be calculating and knowing your team particularly really well to see where you can go and how it matches up against the competition. That's the number one thing you want to do in trade deadline is how do you close the gap on the competition? You know, and does this player make you a better player? If we, as Al Davis used to say all the time, put that guy on my team and watch my team get better. I think that's the answer.
All right, but Mike, if you are not going to win at all, you do not have that good a team, but that one move might put you, win the division, might put you into the picture. Is that enough, or is it, you have to be convinced that it's going to put you over the top?
Well, look, you can't, you know, it's like I say all the time, you measure your team by the Final Four in football because until you get to the conference championship game, you really have no chance to win the Super Bowl. So you got to get to that game. Everybody talks about getting to the Super Bowl. I always talk about getting to the Final Four because you need to get in that game. I mean, Dallas hasn't been in a Final Four game at the Cowboys in this century. And they talk about going to the Super Bowl all the time.
Right.
You know, they're only 8 games over 500. So I would say if this player could get me in the playoffs, then we'll see what happens. I think that's the move. Now, you got to weigh how much you're giving away. You know, there's certain pieces in your organization that you can't part with, and you've got to hold strong. And look, let's face it. You know, you, as Springsteen once says, I can't tell my courage from my desperation. You've got to be courageous. You can't be desperate.
Ah, that is a signal of Dave Dombrowski. Mike, in your experience in the front office of NFL teams, is there ever a regret, a guy you could have gotten that you didn't get? Did that ever happen to you? You went, oh, my God, why wouldn't we? We should have done that.
Yeah, there's so many times, Angelo, you think about that. I mean, I had a chance to trade for Charles Haley. I mean, I was the guy that found Charles Haley for the 49ers. And I had a chance to trade for him when I was in Cleveland. And I just, you know, stupidly, one of the dumbest, you know, I thought, well, it's just not the right time. No, great players are always the right time. You know, I can remember I was working for the Browns, and Al Davis called me on the phone and said, they wouldn't trade him to me, but you're an idiot for not taking him. And he was right.
See that? And, you know, I'm hearing in your voice, that stays with you, right, Mike? You carry that with
Never
you the rest of your life, right?
Never. No, I mean, look, Angelo, in 96, we're sitting there, in 95, we're sitting there deciding between Curtis Martin and Craig Powell. And we thought we could get Curtis Martin later in the draft, and we took Craig Powell like idiots. And Martin's in the Hall of Fame, and Craig Powell never played. I mean, that one wakes me up in the middle of the night.
Wow. I love that these things haunt you. All right, the Eagles have a new coach. We're all trying to get a kind of handle on Nick Sirianni and what he's going to be like. He opens his first training camp, Mike, and he does his first news conference, and wow, He has given us stuff we didn't expect. I want you to hear this and tell me if it's over the top and if you were running the Eagles, you would try to calm them down a little. Here is Nick Sirianni talking about attack mode.
My message to the team is very clear. We attack every day. It's a climb, and we're attacking every day. And not only, and we like to even break it down further than that. We're not only attacking every day, we're attacking the little parts of that day, right? So we're the players right now are attacking rest. And the coaches, when we're done here, I'm going to go up with the offensive staff, and we're going to watch the tape, and we're going to attack the crap out of that, out of the film. And then we're going to attack the meeting room. Right. And then we're going to attack the walkthrough, and then we're going to attack the meeting room again. And it's just it really is just a climb and it's and just trying to get a little bit better each day.
All right, Mike, what do you think? Too much?
No, I mean, I think his messaging is pretty much the same of all coaches. I think the number one thing in training camp is to stay present, you know, when the go from one drill to the next. They say if you become a Navy SEAL, the only way you make it through that rigorous training is to focus on the next drill. You know, the next drill, you know, I wake up at this time that what's the next drill, the next drill. You never think about the end or what's coming. And that's the job of a head coach in the NFL is to get the team to focus on the present. I wrote about this in the Daily Coach. It's really important because that'll help you manage expectations because everybody's worried about reps. They're worried about making the team. You know, Chip Kelly had the line, win the day. Sirianni's using, you know, we're going to attack. It's the same message, different words. But I think that's what you have to try to do to sell the players on. Don't get too far ahead of ourselves.
All right, but Mike, then you get tested, right? You're a rookie coach. You got two young players, Rager and Goddard, who can't pass the conditioning drills, right? These are guys you're counting on as starters, and they didn't come in shape. How does a coach react to that? What do you want? See, we don't know what Nick is doing about it. This information came out after he had spoken. But if you're the coach, don't you have to do something about guys who aren't taking it seriously enough?
Yeah, I mean, I understand Rieger had a death, but, I mean, Rieger's been a kid that's never always been in great shape. I mean, when he was at the combine, he ran. He didn't run. He went back. He's been a guy that has a propensity for a receiver to get out of shape, which is somewhat rare, you know, which is really a kind of a rare thing. Those receivers guys, they're used to running all the time. I would be really disappointed if I were the head coach. Guys that didn't make the conditioning test, they're going to get limited reps. I mean, they're going to have to earn their way back. And, you know, same thing with Goddard. I mean, they talked all offseason about building an offense around Goddard, and he shows up out of shape. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The messaging isn't getting through.
Well, here's the messaging I got from it, Mike. Don't trade Zach Ertz. Now, obviously, they've tried to. They haven't gotten anything they want so far. Wouldn't this make you more reluctant to give up a guy at 30 who may still be able to help your team?
Yeah, I think, you know, Angelo, I think that they're asking, they don't, you know, sometimes you ask a price for a player that you say you'll trade, but the price you're asking, you really don't want to trade them. And I think that's the case with Ertz. I mean, if they wanted to trade Ertz, they know they'd have to lower their price. They don't really want to trade them. They say they do, and they're hoping somebody will come down the road and pay what they want. But in reality, I mean, they're asking too much, and everybody knows it. And so they're never going to get it paid, and they won't lower their price. When you won't lower your price, you know you don't really want to trade the player.
All right. Well, you have led me right to Ben Simmons. All right. And we haven't even really explored this yet, Mike. This is what came out yesterday on Keith Pompey, who's a terrific reporter for the Inquirer who covers the Sixers for many years. This was the asking price when Daryl Morey was talking to the Warriors for Ben Simmons. He wanted Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, the 7th pick in the draft, the 14th pick in the draft, and 2 future first-round selections. That is 4 first-rounders and 2 quality players for Ben Simmons. Do they want to trade him or don't they?
Well, I think they want a certain price. But, you know, in the NBA, Angelo, I don't really think that was a lot. I mean, put the 2 names that they drafted. And then ask yourself, would you trade those 2 players along with Wiggins and Wiseman? Wiseman is going to be a backup kind of center in the NBA. Wiggins has been on, what, his 4th team. Remember, the process was built around Wiggins. Don't let anybody kid you about
that. I know it was.
We had to have Wiggins. Oh, my God, let's lose 1,000 games to get Wiggins. Okay, so let's not forget that. You know, let's remember that. You know, that great evaluator, Sam Hinkie, he saw that, right? You know, and so don't get me started, Angelo. You know,
no, I didn't even
You put the quarter in.
You asked about, you brought up Hinkie. I wasn't mentioning Hinkie.
Trust the reality, Angelo. But so to me, when you add the players in, this is what's fascinating about trades, right? You got to fill in the blanks. So would you trade those two guys that the Warriors drafted last night for Wiggins and then a bunch of other junk, really, because Wiggins isn't very good. Weissman's going to be a backup player. And then these two future first-rounders are unprotected. They're going to be guys that perhaps aren't even going to play. It sounds like a lot to the fan based on a football trade. But in a basketball trade, I don't know if that's really a lot. I didn't, you know, like when you equate the names to it, it sounds like a lot. But remember, first-round picks in the NBA, I mean, they take Springer at the bottom of the first round. You know, he's not like a bottom-of-the-first-rounder NBA player, NFL player. So I think it's really challenging. Look, I think they should probably hold a steady line as they can. The best thing you can do in trades is say no to an offer because that shows teams you're willing to play with them. And if you show yourself as being desperate to trade the guy, then you're going to give the guy away.
All right. I've got to move you back for the NFL for one last question, Mike. And it's Deshaun Watson. I'm required by the FCC to ask him every time I talk to you. Deshaun Watson, we now know apparently there'll be no immediate sanctions against him by the NFL because there are still a lot of criminal cases going on. Right? Would you have any interest in trying to make a deal for Deshaun Watson now or at any time in the future once the legal things are resolved?
I definitely would have interest in the future. You know, I would. I would, but I would want to know about now. Remember, he's got 22 civil suits against him. He's got eight in Houston. Houston police are investing eight cases, two of which are not involved in the civil suits. The other six are. Okay. So that's 24 he could potentially have civil suits versus against him. How that gets resolved. The reason Houston is just making him stand there at practice is because they don't want to give him reps because I'm sure they feel like he's going to get suspended, right? If they felt confident he was going to play, they would give him reps. But I think they feel like they know he's going to get suspended. The league has been investigating this since March. Why they can't make a decision, I don't know. But he's going to get suspended based on the behavior. They're not putting him out there and making him stand there at free safety and walkthroughs because they're trying to be mad at him. They don't want to give reps to him because they know he might not be on the team based on the suspension. So I think that's the data that has to get collected before you make the trade. And then you really got to dig into it. Before he came out in college, Watson was one of the great kids of all time. This has changed the tenor a little bit, and you need to investigate and understand it.
Mike Lombardi, he should be running teams in all sports. You can read him in The Athletic. You can read his book, Gridiron Genius, or you can hear about GM Shuffle podcast. Mike, always an honor. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Angelo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.